This is CliffCentral.com.
Welcome to the Country Duty Show on CliffCentral.com. My name is Dumi, and you can follow me on Twitter at Dumisole.
Hello, guys. Thank you very much for tuning in. My name is Katlego, and you can follow me on at @handful_K.
And please don't forget to use the hashtag, #CountryDuty, tag at CountryDutyZA, and both myself and @handful_K. I know you guys are watching Sundowns versus Barcelona, but we also know that there are quite some loyal listeners and supporters, and we'll pick up your tweets on Twitter. Please also send your WhatsApp messages to 079-748-2090.
Can you believe that the score is already 2-0? Like, how long has this game been playing?
Oh, I've predicted 15-3.
Sole, come on.
I'm telling you. This is South Africa, Joe.
You know, and these guys were like, they just landed today. So I know. They should be exhausted or whatever. And already they're just there shooting goals and stuff. Yo,
no, hi. But the thing is, they are all starstruck. You know, there's this thing, yo, it's Kimes, or Kisuarez, or whoever.
But sabo itangletang kana kusong la.
Tribula or Maga. They are properly dealt with.
No, and, man, and they'll calm down. Problem. Maybe the second half they'll come back.
No, man, someone tweeted light. And said, Sundowns players in my PC got the autograph instead of Madale football.
South Africa, Helena Chilchem.
And rightly so. It's been a while since we've been in the studio together.
It has been forever, sir. How have you been?
I've been all right. I've been busy.
And doing yourself? What?
Hey, you know, tell there us, are other things that we
outside
need
of white monopoly, Klebatung. Like, I'm sure that there are other things. That, what did you do for Mother's Day for the mother of your children?
What did I do? Oh, ooh. Yes, I spent time with her. And then we went to go see my mother. So the kids also went to go see Granny.
That is so cute. That's very sweet.
But you know, Sundays never last, eh? So you wake up and suddenly na kwe chile and that's it. But it was a good one. Did your kids make you coffee at least in bed?
Shame. I wasn't home.
No,
because
it's okay.
Nikeleko, Nikeleko Northwest. Nikeleko Northwest, my dad's tombstone was happening, so I only came back Sunday evening, but I did get the most precious presents ever. I got a bookmark from my son that was handmade. Nice. And a little flower that had petals and little descriptions about what he liked best about me. My favorite is the fact that he thinks I'm cool.
Yeah.
Which is really amazing because, I mean, I know his aunt and I go out of our way to make sure that we, like, give them the embarrassment situation. Any chance we get, we're just there, like, trying to embarrass them. So the fact that they still think we're cool is, like, really...
Yeah,
nice.
No, I think it's a great thing, and we must appreciate that. And at the end of the day, it's going to be a memory after all. We saw the tweets on Twitter regarding Mother's Day. Did you get a chance to see that Mercedes ad?
I didn't.
Maybe you shouldn't even talk about it because it's at the rating and they're not even sponsoring.
You know,
the
this
show.
Is exactly what I was saying. These people who go out and do, I heard the cry, the hullabaloo around it.
Yeah.
And I thought to myself, this can't be something that is a mistake anymore, because we had it with the H&M. We had it with, what was the other company that also had, the Dove.
Yes.
So if you're now still going to make mistakes, and I use that word very loosely, when it comes to your ad, then it tells me, Khori, you're actually just doing it on purpose.
Yeah.
It comes to say that you're doing it to try and get ratings, to become popular, to be spoken about, to get the airwaves, to be on the airwaves and to be on the streets and the Twitter lines and everything. So it's that, it goes with that thing, Yahore, any publicity is good publicity.
And indeed, they've mastered the art, and it's okay that they've mastered the art, but not the nonsense that they're promoting. Yeah. Just that we fall for that type of crap and give it relevance.
Because they're hot, man. You know. But anyway, positive side.
Yes.
One of the things that I was doing while I was away is the hashtag #MayYou'reEnough, which came about after a friend of mine posted on her Facebook page a question posed at men. And it is no way a man-bashing thing. We just wanted to know, as a single mother or an only parent, why is it that women are with children are seen to be a curse or a burden when they're trying to date? So this is a conversation we had. We had it on 702 and on Kaya FM, the Karibu show, discussions about it. And some of the responses that we got was really shocking. But from the mother's side of it, we just wanted to actually just open up the conversation to other parents to find out their experiences, to find out what difficulties they face when it comes to dating, when they feel that they're ready to start dating. And yeah, we just weren't looking for validation per se, but we were just looking for answers to see, Hore, where does this stem from? You know, and a lot of it seems to stem from culture, although it was discussed and came about that, you know what, culture is used as a crutch that people 100%. Go to when it suits their narrative or when they need something to be said.
Unfortunately so. But you know, I think that conversation is definitely necessary and needs to continue, and you guys need to punt it as much as you can. It's necessary. Father's Day is coming up, and it's also going to be necessary in the timeline as well and stuff. So let's see how that goes. Hopefully, rightly so, there should be some passion, but also we must recognize constructive things being done by the dads
no,
as well.
No, we should. And some of the complaints that also came about, because, you know, guys, parenting is not something that you can just take and play with children to their soccer ball. On the radio this morning, there was conversations around fathers who don't have access to their children because the mothers are trying to get back at the father. And honestly, if you're going to do something like that, you're actually hurting the child just as much as you're, if not more, than you are hurting the your ex, you know.
Indeed. And it's quite stupid, actually.
It is. And you're depriving your child of a very much needed relationship between her and the dad, or him and the dad, that could build their character and have a better future, I think.
And insofar as the Sundowns versus Barcelona, I'm sorry, we also watched the game in studio, and it's halftime now, but the goals were coming in like it's all good. I think this is actually a good thing that Sundowns is playing Barcelona. It's good marketing for the country, and we have to give it to Ntate Patrice Motsepe, man. This is huge, and rightly so. Sundowns is on top form, and we must recognize. I wonder when Messi gets in, Horace Costa is hearing, but that's a discussion for another day. What are we talking about today?
Today, much a little bit later on, we're going to have Buhle in studio. Buhle Dulwane. I'm sorry, I don't know if I'm saying her surname right. But she is the founder of Be Feminists. And they're having a conversation of sorts, like an open conversation for Youth Day on the 16th of June, which is coming up like in a week's time.
Yes.
Where they're going to be talking to the youth of South Africa about their hopes and dreams for the country and their complaints or difficulties and issues that they have with our leadership or with the structures that are within. But that's who we're going to be talking
to. But we're
going
to have them in studio, and they'll take us through exactly what they're about and why is it necessary to have the youth talking and doing what they could. Auntie Patty, how do we leave Auntie Bahemise out of our conversation? What do you think?
Auntie Pat can I just say that the fight that she's putting up is really impressive. It's really impressive.
Yeah.
That said, the fact that she can't answer questions, there's one thing that I don't the political.
Let's not go to the questions. Let's talk about.
No. But why not? Why not? Why can't we talk about the questions? Because here's the thing. There's one simple question that needs to be answered.
Which is?
Did you send the SMS or not?
But before we get to the SMS, let's talk about how she was dealt with as a mayor and removed, and how she's going to school the DA in court. We'll get to the SMS.
That.
It's not over. The 25th, they're back in
the
court.
The 25th. Okay, so like Eusebius explained it, even on his Facebook page, he's got it. The court that they the battle that she just won, and I use inverted commas on that, was just because on the show, on the 26th of April, I think it was, she had a show, she had an interview with him, and she said that should she lose the case that's coming next week, then she will step down. The DA then went and took that conversation or that interview and said that they are going to revoke membership from her. The courts came up to say that you can't revoke membership on something that is pending and on, like, they don't have a basis to say it, you know. But they also did say something along the, I just can't remember how he put it. You should be helping me with this, Mr. Lawyer.
Let's solve it quickly. So they wanted to fire her because she said, as soon as I clear my name, I'll step down. And mind you, Musi had said that, caller Barnard also said that, but they chose Patty. And she's properly schooling them. In fact, I'm rooting for her, and I've been doing so with tweets and everything.
I see.
More importantly, we need the chain. Cape Town, please make sure that Auntie Patty's chain is returned. It's urgent. In fact, it's one of the demands from Black Twitter HQ. But yeah, it's going to be a very interesting legal battle. If she loses this one, I don't think it's going to end. It will be a temporary victory for the DA. But at the end of the day, what she's saying is she wants to clear her name, and she must do that. If she's found guilty, she's found guilty. And
so this was the other question. You see, this is what I'm saying about the questions that she can't answer. When she clears her name, I get it, she said she will step down. Now all of a sudden she's saying that the court ruling doesn't say that she has to step down, but she's the one who initiated and said as soon as she clears her name, she's stepping down.
Yes, and she can do that, which is right, because then she's not leaving with a cloud.
Look, I'm all for her clearing her name. I really am all for her clearing her name. I'm also for her sticking to what she said. You can't, because right now they're out here pointing fingers at other parties. Khori, you said you would do this, you haven't done it, right? Yeah. They should lead by example. And I'm not speaking just about the DA as a party, but I'm speaking about the members as well. Because they speak with a united voice until now, obviously. But usually when they speak with a united voice. When they start pointing fingers, Khori, this party didn't do this, this party didn't do that, that person didn't do that. For example, look at how strongly they were pushing for Manana to step down as an MP.
Yeah.
Which he still hasn't, which is very disgusting, quite frankly, because, I mean...
There's that, hey?
Despicable.
There is that, which is... To say the very least. Which, at the end of the day, I mean, and it ties in with what we're going to talk about, amongst other things, just before we get our guest in. Any assault against women is not acceptable.
It really isn't.
And we can never beat on the bush regarding that. And, you know... Some of these things, and I do admit, are allegations, and they'd have to be tested in a court of law, and it becomes very difficult, obviously. And I think sometimes our subjective views take the best of us. And with Manana, today I saw a letter from his lawyers basically saying, this lady lied, they're happy to actually have his day in court and to basically defend Manana, and I think that's right. At the end of the day, it would be very interesting as to what will happen, whether indeed that's the case or not. And that's just a legal argument. But I think ordinarily, and this is what I also did today, I saw the story regarding a lady who died, and it's alleged that it's the husband, and it takes. And it talks to the Justice Department. It talks to bail and conditions and circumstances. And I mean, the argument came about this too. But what's wrong with a person who's allegedly killed someone being granted bail? Because that's the constitutional right. It doesn't talk to conviction or guilt or otherwise. You know, so it is what it is. It's the law of the country, and we must respect it.
But don't bail conditions come on those considered based on the evidence that's there, or when does the evidence get considered?
Remember, as I said, it's not court. It's just whether is there a prior offense, are you likely to escape, you know, any other extra factors that you have to take into account. But in circumstances where you don't basically are likely to escape, or you don't have what they call propensity of killing or whatever, you're most likely going to get bail, especially as a first-time offender and stuff like that. And as I said, that for me means, because of the rate of femicide in the country, which is very shocking, and I don't think the authorities are taking it seriously, we need to look at the test and see that certain crimes, if they are priorities, there should be a higher standard.
Enter the recording where he was now paying the domestic worker who's lying 100,000 rand.
And that is going to be the issue of evidence, because at the end of the day, he denies it. The domestic worker says it is. There's going to be issues of whether this was a trap or otherwise. But it's going to be a very interesting discussion, in my view, legally, because what was the intention, what was known, and otherwise. But what begs the question for me, and I'm talking as Dumi and not any other person, do you think ordinarily would she have taken the 20K, or this was also part of the trap? I mean, how did it get to 100K being offered?
It's a silencer.
Yeah. I don't know. It's power dynamics, and we'd have to see how that one goes. But time will tell.
Because everything else that this woman said, Manana verified, right? Except for the fact that he pushed her down the stairs. Everything else that she said, he said, yeah, I got mad at her because she let somebody in and I was in the shower and she didn't know who it was.
Yeah.
And, like, do you understand, Khori? I don't understand how everything that this woman said, he's like, yeah. No, but I didn't push her down the stairs. No, but I didn't give her 100,000. Because also, this is the thing. Because when the story, when the lady first came out, I was very curious to see how he would respond to it, considering the fact that this time there was no visual evidence.
And that's going to be very crucial insofar as the court.
Because last other time he was applauded, Jorge, he did the right thing, he apologized, blah, blah, blah. But that's only because he couldn't get away from it because he was clearly caught on camera. So now there's no visual evidence. Is he still going to be that honorable person that comes out and says, I did it?
Let's leave it to the honorable courts to do their job, and more importantly,
the courts,
see how it goes. It's going to be a very interesting one.
The courts are not really, really friendly when it comes to victims, especially on women abuse, especially on femicide cases. It's not fair. There's an incident of a woman, or there's a book of that a lady wrote about her rape case that she was on, and she was put on the stand for 3 hours.
Yeah, but that's the thing. The justice system, some say, but also one needs to look at it in a fair and objective way. I saw I think a week or two ago where two men, black men, were sentenced to 26 years, and it's recently been discovered that they were framed or there was a lie relating to rape. And now where, you know, do you draw the line in terms of fairness and otherwise? So there are those incidents, and they must be called out. And what is important is it must be dealt with fairly.
Do you know what, Ne? Without sounding cruel or heartless or whatever, right now we're looking at the numbers, right?
Yeah.
How often does a case come up where a man was falsely accused of something?
Sure. But what I'm...
And how often is it that a woman is accused, or a woman comes in and she's been hurt or beaten up or raped, and the perpetrator gets away with it because there's no evidence? So in cases where, look, I'm not saying that what this woman did to these two men is right. It's absolutely horrible. What I'm saying is the issue at hand is the fact that there are so many more women being killed and beaten up than there are women who are faking it.
No, for sure. But what we're saying at the end of the day is these things do happen. They only come up later, years later. I mean, if we had the death sentence in South Africa, for example, and that happened here, those people would not have had their lives. And that's the danger. These type of fake things make it difficult for us who advocate for harsher sentences and stuff against these type of atrocities against women. So let's just be mindful. I'm just only bringing it up to the extent that these things do happen, but we must vocalize on issues that oppress women.
Okay. I can't
argue it. I'm saying, insofar as a balanced view, these are some of the challenges and these are some of the things that happen. But rape or any form of violence can never be acceptable, and it will never be. What is important is there be a fair and transparent process, and that's what we need, and we'll eventually get there, South Africans. The game is back for those who are listening and are not in front of the TV. It's still 2-0 in favor of Barcelona. I think the next third goal is coming up, and it is not almost there, but it's still 2-0.
Yeah, you're a horrible sports commentator, dude. Like,
but I can commentate properly. I can try. Nonetheless, I think we must go for a musical break and get our guests in because this is about them more than you and I.
This is CliffCentral.com.
Liamogetswe mo CliffCentral.com on the Country Duty Show, le Tumisole. Score is still 2-0, and I'm Tumisole. Welcome.
You didn't do it right.
Because there was no moment for me to commentate properly.
Welcome back, guys. Katloho here at Handful_K. We have a wonderful young lady in studio with us. Her name is Buhle Dlulane.
Yes.
Okay, yay, second time right. Welcome.
Thank you. Thank you for having
me. Hi, Buhle, how are you doing?
I'm great. Thanks, and you. Thank you for playing my anthem, by the way.
I was about to say, that was Beyonce. I was here.
Yes.
So, yeah. Buhle, be feminists.
Yes.
What is it? How did it come about?
Before we go there, and I apologize, who is Buhle? And stuff.
Is this the conversation where I fetch my historical?
Just a bit. Okay. I'm sure it's not that much. Given some other things that we're going to discover.
So my name is Buhle Dlulane.
Yes.
I am from the Eastern Cape, from Mthatha.
Yeah.
And I grew up in Port Elizabeth. I came to Johannesburg about 5 years ago. I matriculated last year. And I'm taking a gap year, and I am passionate about equality, education, empowerment.
Yeah.
And I'm a rigorous reader, and I am an activist, I would like to think. Yeah. I write. I'm an existing being.
Lovely. And I think you've captured it properly. I think, and the reason that I had asked is people sometimes want to understand a bit about someone so that they can, to a certain extent, identify with the cause here and there. So, over to you, SG.
Yeah, I asked a question and it was over. It was.
Oh, yeah, honey, I got you, girl pal. So, be feminist. Let me say what it is first. So, be feminist. I would like to define it as a platform of youth-based initiatives,
yeah,
and youth-driven. And it focuses on, like I said in the beginning, education, equality, and empowerment, and trying to change the narrative of young African child, particularly female, in the African diaspora. And it's a form of intellectual conscious activism. Okay. Is what I would like to define it as.
All right, that's lovely, and I think it's key. I think the central theme is youth, and the likes.
Yes.
But if I may ask you, and for someone who hasn't heard about your movement and, mm-hmm, and what's it about, it's called Be Feminist.
Yes.
Right. And you probably would have seen some conversations on Twitter when people talk about feminism,
mm,
they're associated with other things,
mm-hmm,
and there are myths associated with feminism and stuff like that. But how do you make your movement attractive to the youth and people who are upcoming and some who don't even know what feminism is, mm-hmm, amongst other things?
I would like to think that it first captures you by the fact that it's run simply by youth,
yes,
and it's particularly the title being feminist.
Yeah.
It's deliberate, it's intentional,
yeah,
to say that this is what it is, and then also exploring the fact, the concept of feminism within the African diaspora,
yeah,
which is the main critique with most, yeah, people, because it's like you can't be African and feminist at the same time.
Correct.
And this is a platform that's trying to create that notion and trying to contradict that notion that equality doesn't mean it's the end of African civilization.
Yes.
It's actually the beginning of a new era of new activism,
power,
and a new form of power. Yes.
Indeed.
No, I hear you and I agree completely. But how has it been from a reception perspective with the youth? And you know, my question really is premised on the fact that it appears, and that's what some other people say,
mm-hmm,
and I'll tell you what my view is, but
mm-hmm,
this is to a certain extent largely a stereotype.
Mm-hmm.
Our youth are delinquent, they don't read, babies are my 2000,
born freeze. Yes.
And you know, and your movement is addressing very important issues, and it talks to a change of narrative and all of those things.
Okay.
What have you seen insofar as that characterization, although it's a stereotype to a certain extent?
Weirdly enough, I thought I was going to have a lot more retaliation when I began. I thought it was going to be a day where every single day, not like we don't do it every day, but fight with particularly men and a whole bunch of conservative women. But the response has been quite receptive, and some people, a majority of the people are willing to hear what it means to be feminist and actually break down and sort of decompose this notion of African feminism and what it is. Because obviously, if you're gonna give something to people, you have to explain it in a language, a dialect in which they understand, 100%. Right? And if we're speaking about equality, people understand equality, right? People understand education, and people understand empowerment.
Yes.
And those are the three pillars that we stand for, and then those are the pillars that resonate with people the most.
Yeah.
And that's what then draws people to what this then is.
I hear you. No, and it is important. But, you know, another myth to a certain extent is, listen, you talk about feminism, this is just a woman thing, and I don't want to be part of it. And sometimes feminists are seen as men bashers, and you know, it's a space, it's something that we don't want to be, and stuff.
You know, girl.
Okay. How do you address that? You know, or for someone who is probably listening to the show for the first time, who happens to be your age, for example, and hears this feminism and this being feminist. Firstly, how, in your view and as part of the movement, define feminism? And then for as I said, with men who say, it's a sacred space.
Mm.
It's feminism, it therefore means female and it must stay there.
So I define it as recognizing women as human. That's the simple sentence I use. But I like to use the definition that was given to us by Chimamanda Ngozi Adichie. And she said that it is a person who believes in the social, political, and economic equality of sexes. And I think that's the crux of everything. It sums it all up. It's a person.
Yeah.
It's not a certain gender. It's not a certain race. It's not a particular group of sexuality or the nuances thereof. It's just people who believe that people are equal.
Yeah. No, and that's key. And I think it's something that has to be driven, and it must be known. The second part of my question was, it being seen as something more attractive to females only, and the stereotype, as I said, people see it as male bashers and stuff like that. What do you think?
Can I just, sorry,
yeah.
I know you're asking her, ne?
But no, please get in, because I think this conversation touches on a host of
the
issues.
The only reason that people feel that we are attacking men when we start talking about
feminism
and the equality of feminism of females in the country or in the world is because for the longest time men have been the rulers and have been the people who get everything.
Yes.
So as soon as you start trying to make things equal, then people start feeling like their privilege is being taken away. Like things are not on the same footing. That is why you get you get a situation where people are like, oh, okay, this is man bashing.
True.
This is male bashing. Because now when you start having to look at yourself in the mirror and hearing all the cries that the women are crying about, then you start seeing the ugly side of you that you don't want to accept or recognize. That is why it is seen as male bashing. But anyway, Buhle.
yes, I totally agree with you.
Sure.
And I also wanted to say that for me, it's particularly interesting that when women decide to start things, not that feminism hasn't been along for a long time, but when women decide to use themselves as the forefront of movements, all of a sudden it's like, no, you hate men.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh, you are a man hater. Girl, what's wrong with you? And I'm just like, it makes no sense, because if the existence of males is standing on the oppression of women, then what the hell is that?
Yes. Yeah.
Right? It makes no sense.
Certainly.
And so to say that feminism is only about women, it's the narrative, the singular narrative that people want to look at it as.
Yes.
And it's the influences of their backgrounds and their privileges that they're not willing to relinquish
100%.
That's making them perceive that feminism is only only driven by women.
100%. I agree with you. I support it, and I think I punted as well, and I think it's key, and it needs to be advocated as such, and more importantly so. And I'm trusting that this platform also gives that you that opportunity, and it can obviously replicate going forward and stuff. You spoke about, and I think it's a very interesting thing, given that you are from the Eastern Cape and stuff, and if you look at patriarchy and the fact that a young one trying to challenge the status quo, and she happens to be female. There's issues of order and stuff. Have you found it difficult, especially in the community that you come from? And I assume, obviously, you've now moved to Joburg for other reasons and stuff. But from a societal perspective, what have you seen, or at least reception, even in Joburg, where it is still a men's world, unfortunately so.
True.
Yeah.
So what I've seen from being from the Eastern Cape, in the Eastern Cape, there isn't spaces such as this to have these conversations, right?
Yes.
And so it becomes a little bit daunting for me because I have to pick the battles I go into as well. Because
100%.
I used to be the girl that's always fighting, doesn't matter where it was. I'm always trying to say, but this is gender inequality.
Yes.
And then I realized that there's certain things that you can fight with and certain things that you should just let be, right? So, And when I started these conversations, unfortunately, I started them in Johannesburg.
Yes.
But I was an activist before on social media.
Certainly.
And so most of the reception then came from home.
Yes.
And it was, how can you say feminism is not against African culture?
Yes.
And I was like, okay, I'm not coming to that party because you're not willing to understand, right?
True. Of course.
So that's been the delay. But most of them now from home are trying to understand what I mean when I say that African feminism exists, right?
And it's key.
Yes. And they're trying to see and trying to unpack the deeply patriarchal society that exists, particularly in the Eastern Cape, and where it's male dominated. They're trying to understand what I mean when I say there are systems within patriarchy that benefit men and literally lay women down on their backs.
100%.
And so in that space of Eastern Cape, it's difficult, but it's progressive.
Yeah.
I would like to think. And in Johannesburg, well, there are a lot of liberalists, and I've faced a lot of criticism, but that's everywhere. I don't really mind.
I hear you. Do you see yourself? I mean, we'll get to the initiatives and your upcoming programs and stuff. And maybe I should SG, you know, do your thing.
Ask questions.
Insofar as going back and challenging this patriarchal society and notion, you know, you are doing it, you're driving it here, and I think it's great, and you have our support, and we'll assist you insofar as we can, and you know, get the conversation going. Do you see it or see yourself going back to the Eastern Cape, for example, talking to the youth there, and saying, listen, remember, this is about equalization.
Mm-hmm.
This is about being, as you correctly said, and ensuring that we level the playing field. So there's white monopoly capital that you have to deal with, but there's this obstacle within ourselves that really is exclusionary to a certain extent.
Mm-hmm.
Do you think it's something that you may want to, or you most likely will do later?
I do want to go back to the Eastern Cape, and the reason why I think it's necessary, I think there's a strong pool of potential within the Eastern Cape, and it's unrecognized, and it's slept on, as my fellow young ones would say.
Yeah.
it's slept on, and there's a need for people to introduce these kinds of conversations, but in ways that are suitable for the people within that environment.
100%.
Right. So in Johannesburg, I'm not really fighting like 200-year-old traditions, right? I'm fighting more, it's technological, it's more social than 100%. That. There, it's cultural.
It's entrenched,
It's cultural and
so
traditional.
It's more difficult.
Yes, it is difficult, but then that's the beautiful part of the challenge, right?
100%.
Because then I would have to start and begin to have conversations that go way back. Right, to places where people can resonate with equality.
100%.
And so it is an a vision for me.
Yeah.
And I would most definitely go back.
Why is it that it's more difficult for cultures and traditions to evolve with the times?
I think because men are quite difficult creatures.
Because like there's so many things, like everything else has been, you
moving
know,
forward.
Moving forward. Mm-hmm. But when it comes to some of the things that you go through, for example, something that just happened very recently to me. My father passed away a year and a half ago.
Yes.
And his wife had to sit and mourn and be in mourning for a good year, right? Yeah. And at the ceremony where they were now finishing off the closing and we're doing the tombstone and everything, and now she's not she's coming out of her mourning period, and it was emphasized about how a woman's role in mourning a man is to sit and and cry for 12 months.
I mean, I could be making millions.
And you know, and you're not allowed to go and interact with people. You're not allowed to be touched by people. You're not allowed. You've got different cutleries and all of that stuff. And when you look at it for a man, it has been cut down from 6 months to 3 months.
Mm. Oh, they even have months?
They have months. I don't know. So, but for a woman, it hasn't been cut down. We still follow the same tradition. So it evolves easily for men, because, I mean, a man has needs, apparently. And a woman doesn't seem to have needs until that 12 months is over. So why is it that for some parts of the tradition and culture, they can be like, yeah, no, this one we can let it go a little bit, you know. Yeah, no, this one is fine. It's fine. We can. No, it's fine. You know, it's modern days. We can change it. And then when you come here and you're just like, I'm like, look here, I got to go and raise kids and make money and work. And like, I need to be out of this thing in 3 months. They're just like, ah, disrespecting.
The best way to shut someone up, I think, is through culture and religion. I think those are the best way to just be like, okay, no, but culture says, you know?
Yeah.
And when you analyze, and when you look at sociology, and when you look at psychology, and when you look at philosophy, you look at how culture was created by people. Now all of a sudden people act like apes came from Mars and created this culture. Now we cannot change it anymore.
We can't change it.
And there's certain pillars that stand on this ancestral goddess ground that we cannot even change.
Yeah.
So I think that's the major issue with that. It's difficult to fight culture when they give it to us like that. But also because we're also fighting men. And this is like a fight we have with white people. White people have certain privileges, right?
Of course.
And they want to act like they're anti-racist, right? But then when it's time to say, okay, if you want to be part of this, then relinquish your privileges, right? Because that's what it means to be equal. And then it's the same with men. If you say to men, well, don't do this, or well, stand up for a woman in these particular spaces, all of a sudden it's like, but I mean.
No, for sure. And I hear you. And I agree with you completely. I mean, you said you're 18.
I am.
And we're having these discussions at this level. I mean, it's very impressive. And for me, it says we need more of you and us also, men, to appreciate what's been said, listen, and more importantly, stop being constant or stagnant and say, let's be receptive. Let us be educated and be willing to learn and relinquish certain things that are inhibiting our learning. And that's that. Going back, and I think we're conceptualizing on certain aspect and discussing some of the issues. Your movement, you said it's mainly on social media.
It is mainly, yes, it is on social media, but the pivotal part is to have human interactions.
Of course.
I think people hide behind their phones.
Of course.
So
people
there's
activists.
Yes, you know, and there's a series of events that we then do try and implement, and the conversations that we do start, like the first Femalogue we're going to be having.
Yeah.
Which is a conversation amongst humans, not just social media.
Yeah.
So, okay, what conversations are you looking to have with the youth thing?
Honey. Okay. The conversations are based on the pillars, which are then what I said: education, equality, and empowerment. But the conversations are about social issues and the way forward to fix social issues. Like, I mean, we're looking at unemployment, we're looking at patriarchy, we're looking at the underdevelopment of particular areas, we're looking at the underdevelopment of a young person's brain, we're looking at getting more people to read literature, the importance of literature, the importance of education, and it's a whole list of...
That's a lot of conversations.
I know. That's what I was saying when I was
it's going to be lit.
It is, but it's also necessary.
It is. It's very, very necessary. And when exactly is it, and how do people join?
Okay, so this is a femilog. For those of you who don't know what a femilog is, it's the word feminist and dialogue put together. And
I love it. Femilog. It goes back to the likes of your vagina monologues,
yes,
and stuff. And
yes.
And I think, interestingly, thank you. I'm flattered. But I think it is key in that sense, and it's relevant, you know. And it says, listen, this femilog is key.
Yes.
Because it talks to dialogue. It talks to discussion. I love it. I think it's brilliant. Yeah.
I think so too.
now I've got too excited and I've lost my
She was asking about the femilog.
Yes.
So
you're saying it's taking place when?
It's taking place on the 16th of June.
Why the 16th of June for you?
It's a significant day.
Of course.
Particularly the whole entire month, but yes. I'd like to think of it, it's always significant.
Yeah.
But because we highlight everything youth involved within that month, I thought I should just like grab it away.
Yeah.
And it is an intergenerational, intellectual, very informative and public dialogue about the issues we're facing as a country, and I would like to say as a continent as well.
Yeah.
We're going to be talking about South Africa's democratic identity, the importance of feminism in democracy, Steve Biko's, the fundamentalisms of the Black Consciousness Movement,
yeah,
and so on and so forth.
So there's a question for you from Zukanya Mafunda. Hi, Zukanya. Thanks for tuning in. And the question really is, how do we remove subtle mindsets and actions by both sexes that hinder encouragement and development of women?
First of all, you need to recognize that there's inequality.
Yes.
I think that's the basis of it.
Yeah.
And then afterwards, try and dissect what it means to have an equal society, because it's all honeys and daisies when I say equality. But what does that exactly mean?
Yes.
Does it mean there's equality economically, socially, and politically?
Yeah.
And how you as an individual can then change those spaces. And it starts with you, how you think. And I would generally like to say people should read, because if they read books, they would understand what I'm saying.
Yeah, and it's key.
Mm-hmm.
And more importantly, thanks, Sukanya, for your WhatsApp message.
I
you
know.
Can also send your messages on 0797482090, and let's get this conversation going. And you spoke about the significance and how it's necessary. Who are you going to be having on this day?
Okay, so there's quite a few people. I have 5 panelists.
Yeah.
At this, there's Annie Barbara Chikwana. She is an associate lecturer professor at the University of Johannesburg in politics and international relations.
Okay.
There is Miss A. Mwahi. She's a lecturer in the international relations unit. She's a feminist African feminism coordinator at the Thabo Mbeki African Leadership Institute.
Lovely.
There is Letlhogo Nolo Shokwane, and she's a program director at the Steve Biko Foundation. Hmm. There's Nziki Mzwai, who's a poet and activist.
Right.
And then there's also a fellow young one who's Obakeng Lesenyane.
Yeah.
And he's the founder of EduConnect SA.
Yeah.
So those are the people. It's kind of a broad range because it's a lot of perspectives.
Yeah. No, I think it's going to be very lively and properly dialogue that's going to be held. Where is this?
It's in Midrand at Calvary Methodist Church.
Okay. Is there a reason that you chose a church? Or, I mean, I can think of many now, but was it because maybe there was no venue that you could find, or it was deliberate, given how, you know, churches and culture are, amongst other things, that continue to oppress women, amongst other things,
mm-hmm.
and make it very difficult for feminists to rise?
Weirdly enough, that the latter, people keep saying that to me. It's like, oh, isn't a church, is it significant? And I'm like, no, boo. I just didn't have a venue. And the church was like, and they also had the first event that we had back in March.
Nice.
So they held that, and then they're holding the Femilog as well. So there's no embedded significance, political meaning. It's just where it's at.
But I think it's great because it then ties in nicely on these type of conversation. Because I think in any event, religion will come up and all of those things and how
religion
it's oppressive
has to come up because there's so much nature. Oppression there as 100%. Well. You're just like your guys everywhere. Like women just are always being suppressed. The power
everywhere, girl. Yeah.
No, I think ultimately this is a very interesting and proper discussion. Now, if people want to be part of this and want to join in, how do they contact you?
Okay, so first, if you're not technologically advanced, you can just say, I'm coming at my email. The email is befeminist@gmail.com.
Yeah.
But on eventbrite.com, there's a heading for BeFeminist. You go to eventbrite.com, you search BeFeminist, and immediately the Femilog will come up, and that's how you RSVP to attend.
Lovely. And those who are technologically advanced, so they must hit you up.
Yes.
And stuff. And are you on Twitter? Where do people find you?
We're everywhere, unfortunately. But so it's at BeFeminist on Instagram, at BeFeminist on Twitter, at BeFeminist on Facebook, and also the DMs are open there if you're very, very technologically advanced.
Okay.
Disadvantaged.
Yeah. And DMs must be specifically for this discussion
before,
and nothing else. And I think it is important for those bases. At the end of the day, we must support these conversations. And it's an appeal to us men. Let's really relinquish and be taught and be receptive. More importantly, show up for such a discussion, because it won't also help have like-minded people on the day, but the people that need to receive the message or be listened to are not there.
Yes.
Thank you so much for joining us.
Just, can you give me the email again? It's BeFeminist with a double T at the end as well?
No, just it's the one, just T one T.
At gmail.com.
Yes.
Okay. Everything's going to be up on my page, and then we'll retweet it on the official account as well. And then I've also put in your Twitter handle and the BeFeminist Twitter handle. Follow their pages, find out more.
Thank you.
Great stuff. Thank you for coming through. You're more than welcome. And that was our guest for tonight, and we are going to discuss the score, which is 3-0. 3-0. Sundowns are GU. 3-1. Oh no, it's changed.
Is it 3-1?
Oh no, it's Bakwa.
Oh, hey.
Nice. Remember, this is also about the country and marketing. So we are thankful to the one, and we must at least draw, at the very least. I doubt if it's going to happen, but okay.
Yeah.
What can we say?
Look, they've got a score. Like, they've got a goal, and it's good. I'm happy. Like, well done, Sundowns.
Yeah.
Thank you guys for joining us tonight. I don't even know what we're talking about next week.
You'll pick it up on Twitter. Use the hashtag countryduty, tag at Dumisole, at countrydutyza, and at underscore k.
This guy, we've been together for how long, and you still don't know my Twitter handle?
Joe.
I feel this love.
But I know that the family log. You know, let me behave and be receptive and wanting to learn. And that's the show. Thanks for listening.
This is CliffCentral.com.